Last podcast on the left, listeners. You might be wondering, how in the living hell did they score this person to talk to them? And the answer is leverage, folks. It's called having personal information about important people inside of the Hollywood industry machine that forced this to happen. Isn't that right, Eddie?
That's correct. We have information, and we're going to release it, unless this is a good interview.
This is really, honestly, kind of a come-to-Jesus moment for this man and for the industry as a whole, because we don't know how all of this is going to kind of roll out. So welcome to Last Podcast on the Left. I'm Henry Zebrowski. I'm sitting here with Ed Larson.
Hello.
And we have an illustrious filmmaker.
By far the coolest interview we've ever had.
Hey, well, I will say we had Dan Aykroyd once.
Yes.
But we have Ryan Kyle Coogler.
Do you have a vodka that you need to push?
Wait, before, yeah, we should have covered that before. Are you selling vodka?
No, I wish I did, bro. Yeah,
can I say that you're leaving money on the table?
Yes. I got nothing to push, bro. I got nothing but a movie.
Because this is podcasting, and unfortunately, you need a movie's whatever. I need you to have an exercise machine that you're selling that also helps me from being infected by the government's choices.
Bro, I got nothing, man. I got a humble movie. You know what I mean? Coming to theaters April 18th.
Buddy.
That's about it, bro.
Let me do this. These guys don't know. Everybody knows. This is the man who made Black Panther. This is the man that made Creed that made me audibly weep in a theater. I cried masculine, big, fat, masculine tears.
You got Sylvester Stallone nominated for a second Oscar?
I think he got himself nominated. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure. We know how it is. We know how it goes.
You're nice. We know.
But the reason why you're here, those movies are too important and good for us to talk about. This is something that we're talking about that is extremely amazing. This film, Sinners, that you have made, it's coming out April 18th. You have come down to the horror world. You're making an extremely big, thick-ass horror movie that are people going to love and say, thank you so much for talking to us. People like Sinners ruled.
I appreciate that, you guys, man.
Yeah, man.
That means the world. I love the genre. You guys saying I'm coming down to it. I feel like I was coming up to it. You know what I'm saying? Because when I was in, you know, before I even went to film school, my first short films I would make would have horror elements to them. But I didn't feel like I was good enough to make that step yet, man. And I kind of got away from it.
What do you mean by not good enough? We actually watched your movie Locks. It's a beautiful film. I'm talking
before Locks, bro. I was making stuff before that. You know, like Locks, I think was like my second year of graduate. No, my second semester of graduate school. But I was making shorts when I was in undergrad, when I first learned that I wanted to make movies in. And I made a couple things at SC, you know, one of them actually was the thing that got me recommended for Fruitvale. But nobody will ever see those movies. It wasn't legal for us to submit those movies to festivals or anything like that. And they weren't good enough. But I've been in love with the genre, man, and wanting to make something you know, in that zone, since I learned I wanted to make movies, you know, that was my first instinct. But then I made Locks. Locks was the first thing I could submit to festivals, you know, based on the rules of the school, and ended up making things more in that, you know, more in that tonality. But this was kind of a homecoming for me. That folks who really know me, who are around, you know, I have this type of passion for horror cinema.
Man, what are your favorite horror movies?
Yeah. We need to not just what inspired Sinners, but what inspires you in general, kind of.
Yeah, man, my favorite horror movies, man. I would say number one is The Thing.
Yes.
Now
do you consider that horror over sci-fi?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
bro.
Yeah.
I consider The Thing cosmic horror. You know, it definitely has science fiction elements as well. I must tell you, bro, even though I love genre cinema, I don't like the concept of genre. Like sure. it annoys me, like having to classify things, and especially like after making this movie, you know, because I can research and you know, the movie deals with a lot of things, but
drama, action, horror, it's everything.
But you're unlocking something. It's like Hereditary was the first time I remember seeing as an adult seeing a movie, and I was like, horror is drama set on fire, right? Like
100%.
I saw
Hereditary is a big one for me. I love that movie.
Yeah, and so when I watched Sinners, the first thing I thought of was truly refreshing about it is because, yes, what you're saying, I see what you're saying. Yeah, it's a horror movie because of the elements that are within it. But all of the stuff feeds what the movie's about.
Yes. Yes. No, 100%. Like the thing is I always work from the standpoint of knowing what my worst fear is as an artist. And I'm always kind of dealing with that in my movies. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And in this movie, I dealt with all of them. Like all of my worst fears are in this. I just dumped them all in there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But what I was saying about genre was like, you know, in studying for this movie, I was studying Delta blues music, and I discovered that. For a long time, when the music business was like first commodified in this country, you know, genre itself was a tool of racism. You know,
yeah.
Like if a black person sang a song, and then a white person sang the same song, you know, they would put those two songs into two different genres. You know what I'm saying? Like the black song would be called a race record. And then the white person singing the song, that might be called bluegrass.
Elvis.
Or like, you know, pop. Yeah, it changed into a thing.
Exactly. And you know, the music industry, it you know, came before the film industry. You know what I'm saying? Like it's an older industry. So a lot of the film business, it follows the whims of music because it's an older industry. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that tradition is what causes like certain genres to be kind of like ghettoized. You know what I'm saying? Like this genre is beneath this genre. The horror movie is beneath the costume drama. You know what I'm saying? Like this thing. So whenever I hear it with this one, and I'm trying to define it, or when I'm trying to like classify a movie like Rosemary's Baby. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, what is, I was thinking about that. What exactly would you call it? Yes, it has horror elements, but it's like it's mostly a drama.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So you realize it becomes, you know, like they had this ridiculous rule that the movie interrogates, like called the one drop rule, like for human beings, right? In this country at a time when they were trying to put when they trying to stick apartheid on top of humanity. They say, all right, if you got one drop of black blood, now that makes you black. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Which is so absurd when you hear this. But it's also, you know, you think about that with movies. It's like, hey, you got a couple of horror scenes. Now it's a horror film. You know what I mean? And it's like, well, is Rosemary's Baby, like, how are we going to talk about this movie? Because the vast majority of it, you know, is a husband and wife talking to their neighbors. You know what I mean? And so for me, you know, my favorite horror movies, they all are gonna have an element of like a question mark, like yo, is that a horror movie? Because look, I'll tell you straight up, like I think Steven Spielberg has created some of the most horrific images known to man, like you know, with Jaws,
Raiders of the Lost Ark, whenever Raiders, it melts.
That ending, bro, like what happens to the dude when he pops the thing, but also, man, a movie like Jurassic Park, like some of those Velociraptor sequences. The opening of the Velociraptor sequence, when a guy gets eaten, by something in a box that you can't see, you know, or the T-Rex sequence when it's raining at night and the cup is rippling and you know, he's coming, fucking eyes coming by the car and it's breathing on the glass, the Velociraptor opening the door, and the claws on the kitchen tile, you know what I'm saying, like. You know,
that movie's so scary. It literally scares dogs. Like, there's so much footage of it, like scaring dogs. So, like, that's how scary
dogs know it's scary.
Dogs not fucking with it. Yeah, they like, man, get that thing off. Yeah,
dude, you know, it kind of, even you just saying that, it really kind of blows something up for the center of the movie for me. Like, you know, we're trying to avoid all spoilers as we go, but
understood.
I do think that, like, it starts off like you have an idea of what these things you're dealing with are in the movie.
Yeah.
Right. Like she calls them, it's like haints, I believe is a term. Like she calls them haints. And then you like clarify that they're vampires.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like almost the same thing. It's like it's you're clarifying the genre of the what we're dealing with here.
Absolutely, man. Like it's so much fun, bro. Like look, a big inspiration for the movie was also the Twilight Zone. You know, the Twilight Zone is like my filmmaking Bible if I had one. You know,
it does have a Monsters on Maple Street kind of feel.
Exactly. Yeah. My favorite episode of Twilight Zone is not as like talked about, but it's an episode called The Last Rites of Jeff Myrtlebank.
Okay.
And it's about a guy like in a southern Midwestern town, Depression era, who wakes up at his own funeral. And it's about the fallout of the town, like trying to figure out what's going on with this guy, you know, and it's just beautiful filmmaking, bro. It's funny, it's scary, it's smart, you know what I mean, and like for me, you know that shit, and it has like a few scenes that could maybe delve into horror, you know what I'm saying, but most of it is just like slice of life in this town, you know what I'm saying,
yeah. Have you ever seen Handling the Undead?
No, what is that?
It's a new film that came out. It's 2024, and it's kind of like that, where it's a highly emotional zombie film, where it's a very understated movie where everybody's coming, and it's the same thing. People just show back up, and they're all like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, I'm happy to see you, but what the fuck are you doing here? Like, it's that style.
I love that, bro.
But I love it, because then it's like the idea of, like, they don't have a working knowledge of what zombies are.
Totally.
And I also like how the main character, which also, I don't know if that, like, the research is awesome.
Yeah.
That you put into this.
Because we're watching the characters learn with us, which is always fun.
When you go into the esoteric teachings and all that kind of stuff, like, how far did you go? Like, how have you, like, experienced any of this stuff? Have you went to, like, you know, like, when you were researching about, like, hoodoo and folk magic, like, do you have any personal connections to that? Do you know anybody who does shit?
I mean, nah, I mean, my wife, who's my producer on this one, she found a consultant for us. You know, because I'm big on consultants, bro. I work with a lot of consultants when I make movies. Out of fear of just not wanting people to who are knowledgeable about the subject matter you're making to sit in the theater and see us get it wrong on a giant screen. You know what I'm saying?
Takes a smart man to ask questions.
So she found us an incredible consultant. Her name is Dr. Yvonne. What's her last name? Sev. Oh, my bad. Sev found a consultant. Our other producer, my wife Zinzi is here.
Nice. Hi.
Yeah, yeah.
Hi, Ryan's wife. Yeah. Nice to
Mr.
Nice
Kugler. What is wrong with
Ryan's
you?
Ryan's wife. Sorry.
Yeah.
Continue.
Zinzi Kugler is my boss's name. the doctor's name was Dr. Yvonne Chereau.
Okay.
And she you know, like help, like, you know, read the script, gave feedback, and helped us, you know, to make sure that the ritual where Annie, who's our conjure woman in the movie, where she feeds Smoke's mojo bag, you know, which is a good luck charm. That's very, very famous and very, very talked about in blues culture. You know, sometimes it's called a mojo hand. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's called a Johnny Conqueror. But you'll hear this referred to in extremely famous blues songs. You know, all of that stuff, I wanted it to be real, man. Like it's a lot of filmmakers carrying the torch for that, right? Like Robert Eggers.
Yeah, who's your buddy too?
A little birdie told us you're friends with him, and you guys are both.
Robert and I have the same agent, who's an incredible person, bro. Like Craig Castell, who our contact is with, right? Like Walter and Craig.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Have been in each other's lives for the better part of a decade, and Craig loves cinema, man, and he loves his job, bro.
He really does.
So I've been hearing about Robert forever, And you know, we finally got a chance to exchange info, and but you know, I love the feeling of a fully realized and tactile world where you can feel that the filmmakers cared. You know, you know, it's a deep history of that, and you know, we wanted the magic in this movie to feel like everything else, like the music, like the dance in the movie. Like, we wanted it to feel real and lived in and respected, you know?
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, I saw a statement that you made about how you want people to feel like they're in a place, and that when you are trying to make art, that you're trying to bring someone to a place. How you do that?
I mean
how does one do that?
Yeah, it's funny, man, because like because for a long time film was how I traveled, you know, like watching it. I still to this day haven't been to Brazil, but I've seen City of God, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like I feel like I've been mentally. I didn't get to New York until I was like 22 years old, and one of my films got into the Tribeca Film Festival. But I felt like I had been to New York all the time, watching like movies like Coming to America and Marty Scorsese movies, you know what I'm saying? Like and, you know, so for me, a big part of it, now that I had this incredible blessing to be able to make movies, I think about that. I say, well, this is how a vast majority of my audience is gonna experience Philadelphia. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to fuck this up. Like, I don't want somebody who is from Philadelphia to pay a ticket to see what they think is a Rocky movie, and only to realize that, man, we got Philadelphia completely wrong. You know what I'm saying? So
they care too.
Oh yeah, and they let you know. They let you know in an audible way. Yeah, they're gonna say a bunch of horrible words at you if you don't. You know what I mean?
So look, bro, I'm like 27, 28 years old, and because Fruitvale was my first movie, and that was about my hometown. Like, I knew what the Bay Area was. I knew the back of my hand, right? So it wasn't a concern. But for Creed, I freaked out, bro. Like, cause I realized, like, oh my God, this responsibility is on my shoulders. So one of the first things I did was I took my locations manager and my teamster, my head of the teamsters. I took them to the side, you know, blocked out 3 hours. I got a map of greater Philadelphia, like a big proper map, like the size that fill up your ground. And I spent 2.5 hours with them, and just like, what's this neighborhood called? Why is it called that? Who is here? You know what I'm saying? Where do I go if I want a cheesesteak? Where do I go if I want to learn how to box? You know what I mean? Like, you know, we went through it for 2.5 hours, marked up the whole calendar. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then I remember our head of travel. She was a black Philadelphian. You know what I'm saying? So I brought her in and was like, hey man, tell me about Philly. You know what I mean? Like, you know, where are you from? Who's from over here? What's going on over there? You know, I got this scene with bikes. Where do I go to do that? You know, from there I had like, I feel like I had a base understanding. I took a picture of that map and I had it on my phone, and I went and scouted and went to these places. You know what I'm saying? And for me, it was the same thing for Clarksdale, Mississippi. We Ludwig and my composer and I, we went on the blues trail, and we spent days in these places. You know, we ended up shooting in New Orleans, which is very, very close. You know, like but all of the defining characteristics of the Delta, you know, we made sure we were steeped in it, especially my production designer Hannah Beekler, you know, so that we knew how not to you know what not to shoot in Louisiana. You know what I'm saying? In order to not give ourselves up, talk with our VFX supervisors to make sure we can maintain the structural integrity of the landscape. You know what I mean? And you know, so all of those things matter, man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Cause like, you don't get this music and this culture and these types of people without the place. You know what I'm saying? Like the place is in constant call and response with the people that are there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Cool. You literally just gave an education to a lot of people that would not know how to do that. It was actually you have very good ideas.
Yeah. Now, obviously, there's some Robert Johnson influence here in this movie.
Yeah, big time.
And you do your research and all that. And I got to ask a very last podcast question. How connected was Robert Johnson to the devil?
Man, you know, it's funny, bro. Like there's a book that talks about this in depth called Deep Blues by Robert Palmer. And it's a lot of books on Robert Johnson. But what I found out that was so fascinating was that he was not the first person to say this. There was a guitarist before him named Tommy Johnson, who was actually the guy who said, "Hey, I sold my soul to the devil. He taught me how to play the guitar. He would go around with a rabbit's foot. You know what I mean? And he would play. And he made some incredible songs. Robert Johnson kind of stole his story, you know?
Okay.
And when he did that, people knew he was kind of like saying he was the next Tommy Johnson. You know what I'm saying? And it was a lot written about the fact that that story is not what you think it is. It's an anglicized version of the story that he sold us all to the devil.
Yeah.
It was really a deity named Papa Legba, who is a West African deity from the Yoruba tradition that was brought over by enslaved Africans. Who's a different, like he's not Satan, you know what I mean? Like
he's not involved in Christianity.
No, exactly. He's like not involved in Christianity. It's a different deity. You know, who's associated with trickery and gifts. But it really is like how I looked at it, you know, is a metaphor for the Faustian deal. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And that for me, when looking at it, was like, okay, well, this is maybe something that lends itself towards the specificity of vampires when it comes to like the supernatural horror rogues gallery. You know?
Yes. So that's how you got to vampires. You're like, all right, this. So you basically were like, this is what's closest.
Yes, sir.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, yeah. And the idea of a deal, you know what I'm saying, to get out of a situation, like mortgaging something for something else, you know, like it's something that I think, oppressed people of all cultural backgrounds are very familiar with. You know what I'm saying? My inspiration for this movie was my relationship with my Uncle James, who's from Mississippi. He was the oldest male member of my family. And I was very close with him, man. I loved him very much. And a part of my, something that I had to give up in pursuit of being a professional filmmaker to be able to have this movie to talk to y'all about, I had to leave my family a lot. I had to miss a lot of shit. Birthdays and weddings and just general get-togethers, you know what I'm saying? Because I was away at film school, I was off shooting a movie. The year I made Creed, you know, was the year he was terminally ill. You know what I mean? He got sick and died, and I maybe saw him once or twice that year. And when I got the call that he had passed away, I was in a post-production facility in Los Angeles. I was at a place called Wildfire Post, and I felt like shit that I wasn't at my uncle's side. You know what I mean? Because I was pursuing this dream. You know what I'm saying?
He knows you love him.
No, 100%, bro. But the thing is, the question of what you give up to get something. You know what I'm saying? Like that was always what I saw that the Tommy Johnson, the Robert Johnson fable. That's what that was about. Yeah, I'm gonna make you a great guitar player, but in exchange for your soul.
Is there anything that you would sell your soul to do?
He's already doing it.
No, but I mean, besides this,
great.
Something super hard.
Please, sell his soul.
I mean, it would have to be something like for my kids or something, like to guarantee.
That's a waste.
You know, like to guarantee.
That's a waste. That's on them. They can sell their souls.
To guarantee, you know what I'm saying? Like all my descendants, you know what I'm saying? Go live wonderful lives and go to heaven. You know what I'm saying? I might consider putting that on the line. You know what I mean? But
that's actually a wonderful answer. Mine's to turn invisible. That's really it. That's really all I need.
That's all you need, bro. you're a cheap date.
Yep. That's it. That's all I want to do.
I got to ask a question. We go back to Robert Eggers for a second.
Yeah.
Y'all know each other. You got the same agent. Both of you make vampire movies within a year of
each
other.
Is he like, what the fuck, bro?
Were you like,
my vampire year, dude?
I mean, what's crazy about him, bro, is he been trying to make that movie forever.
Yes.
Like, he been trying to make that movie since he was a kid. You know what I'm saying? So like,
oh yeah.
Yeah, me beat to the punch by a long shot. You know what I'm saying? I hope you're not upset with me. You know what I mean?
No,
sure.
They're
no.
completely different.
They're utterly different.
I don't think could be more, unless they, except for they're both period pieces, but they could be more, they couldn't be more different.
Can you imagine how big of a fucking prick you have to be like, I see one vampire film a year. I will not see a second film involving a vampire.
I'm sure they exist, you know what I'm saying? But I'm hoping people got it in them to check out another one, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, they will.
Yeah, dude, it's the shit. Because it's also it's bigger than horror. It's got so much to it. It's so thick. It's got so much rich, so much history in it. It's awesome.
To bring a budget like this to a horror film is like thank you for giving it recognition. This is a great year for horror.
Man, right
between
on.
Nosferatu and The Substance and you, this is great.
Yeah,
it's Screamboat.
Is there so? Oh yeah, have you even seen Screamboat?
Okay,
no, dude, you're surprisingly good.
It's fine. We saw it. It's the new. It's when Steamboat Willie went copyright free. A guy made like a movie just immediately about a killer version. It's the guy from Terrifier who is doing this. Have you seen Terrifier?
Wait. Yeah, okay,
it's
pretty. Okay,
it's silly.
Wait.
It's very silly.
Yeah.
Is there another horror thing that you in your head that you want to hit at some point? Like, is there something that you want to do? Like, is there like a remake or is there something that you're like jonesing for?
Man, so many things, bro. Yeah, so many things. Like I can't, you know, I can't say on the pod because I wouldn't be able to get a deal done.
Come on. But that's how we do it. That's how we push it in the trades.
Yeah, I know, man. bro, I love it, man. Like it's not. Yeah, bro. Like when you were saying like, what's my favorite horror film? I'm like, bro. It's so many. Like that. That I just absolutely adore, bro.
Also, do you love the question when you're selling the show and the movie that you've been working on for 4 years? And then the first thing I ask is, so what's next?
Oh.
The movie hasn't even come out yet.
I'm used to it, bro. I'm working on X-Files, bro.
Seriously?
Yeah. So
you're a great choice. That's awesome.
That's what's immediately next.
That's cool.
I've been excited about that for a long time, and I'm fired up to get back to it. Some of those episodes, if we do our jobs right, will be really fucking scary.
And you're talking to Gillian Anderson? Can you tell her I said hello?
I waved at her one time. I've spoken to the great Gillian Anderson. Yes, she's amazing.
Yes, I waved at her one time.
Yeah. She's incredible. And you know, fingers crossed there. I can't wait to see her in Tron. I just seen a trailer for that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, cool. That's right. Yeah. She's in Tron.
Yeah,
really good.
When I spoke to her, she was finishing that up. But yeah, bro, we're going to try to make something really great, bro. And really be you know, something for the real X-Files fans and today, you know what I'm saying? And maybe find some new ones.
Tell you what, we're cruel and we're cutthroat. So just so you know, remember that the rest of us, we're actually unsatisfied.
Yep.
We're angry and we don't have jobs. So we're going to attack you.
I'm going to know how y'all feel. And I understand.
Yeah. You know, obviously, we're excited about the horror movie and totally X-Files. You know, we love our aliens over here. But I got to say, all of your movies, including Creed, are very, music is such a key part of it.
Yeah.
It's obviously very important to you.
Yeah.
And I love, I love everything you did with music in Sinners. It was really, especially the one scene.
That
was like
scene,
one of the coolest scenes I've ever seen.
The audience applauded.
Yes.
Oh, man.
The audience applauded at the end of that scene.
Yeah. It was straight up coolest music video I've ever seen. It was very interesting. And then, but you do something that I miss from movies. And especially with Black Panther and Wakanda Forever, is the specialized companion album.
Yeah.
And that was something that was we saw a lot in the 90s, and stuff like that. And I was recently complaining that it doesn't happen more often.
Mm-hmm.
And
Sinners needs an album.
It's coming, bro. Yeah. It's really good. Like,
hell yeah.
Really, really, really good. It's, I think this. I'm biased, obviously, but I think the score is some of Ludwig's best work, and this soundtrack is some of his best work as well in that space. Like, it's incredible, yeah. Bro. I can't wait for
I was that. Saying that as we were watching it. I was like, this is feels like, because you know what you're doing too, dude, that is amazing, is that it's what you and Robert Eggers are doing, and I mean this, and it's not just because I'm a little Hollywood little man, but you guys are doing great stuff for movies because yeah. You're making them big and you're making them events. You're making them people, you're putting butts in theaters again, which is going to turn our town back around.
You know,
because I saw somebody begging for lentils outside of Erewhon the other day, and I was so scared for that woman. There was a woman, and I swear, she could have been 20, she could have been 85, but she was on her knees begging for the new, I think they're called ruby lentils at Erewhon. This town needs you.
And you know,
I didn't know where I was going, bro.
It's scary out here.
Yo. Okay, Andre 3000, good flute player or not?
Fantastic, bro. I saw him in person.
We saw him twice. We love that album.
Bro, no, check game. He performed in this venue called The Cave up north in Napa, bro. And I was like, the whole time he was playing, bro, I was like, yo, somebody got to put a movie theater in the cave because this shit is sick. Like it was like stone walls and shit. I was literally gonna ask like, hey, who got a projector? Because I'm about to throw some shit up. Like, but yeah, man, he makes you feel like you floating, doesn't he?
Oh my God, we saw him at the Hollywood Forever
Masonic.
Yeah, we saw it at the Masonic Lodge.
It was unbelievable.
I thought I was gonna float. Yeah. Hey,
can we're I ask y'all a question?
The least
can
coolest I, people in bro, the room,
bro,
for sure.
Can I ask y'all a question, bro?
Yeah.
I want y'all to answer with all sincerity. Man, don't give me the fake podcast answer. Give me the real answer, bro.
Okay.
Would y'all watch Sinners at the Cemetery, bro? Hollywood Forever.
Yep.
I mean, of course. That's where it belongs. Please.
Get it done. Yeah. Okay. Get it done.
Yeah,
make
please.
It happen.
Make right, it right, happen.
We had, I mean, I won't say, and we're a horseshit podcast, and we had 4,000 people at the cemetery. You're going to fucking, that will be an event. It'll be an event.
Okay.
Man. Have someone playing blues, man. Yeah. Have somebody there playing blues. Like, people will freak out.
It would be amazing.
I bet. We're going to get to work on that after hopefully a robust.
Also, I need a George Clinton biopic. By the way,
if you could,
no one's done it. I don't. It just needs to happen at some point. If you at least produce it, you know, like
that's not a bad idea at all, bro.
He's still alive.
He's king. He's amazing.
Me and Jay-Z been listening to a lot of George Clinton, bro.
I could tell. Well, obviously referenced.
I was today years old when I realized on Atomic Dog the whole beat he's panting like a dog.
Oh my God. He's hilarious, man. He literally just makes fart noises into instruments.
That is Bootsy, right? Bootsy's in the movie.
I mean,
that's a yes.
Thank you.
That's a yes.
I'm not answering that. Sorry.
That's fine. So you might want to check out some of the little films this man has made, like Fruitvale Station, Wakanda Forever, Black Panther. You might want to. But if not, check out his newest incredible, like, honestly, you're going to fucking love it. Sinners. It comes out April 18th everywhere. Go see it in IMAX. Go see it big.
Yes. And thank you for the ending, by the way. I've been waiting to see that in the cinema forever, and you did it, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Right on.
It definitely had, like, the right amount of the Tarantino kind of thing, and it was like, fucker, I'm not even going to say it. It has been such a pleasure and an honor talking to you, man.
Man, likewise. Thank y'all for having me, man. Best of luck with everything, man. I really appreciate y'all.
I'd offer you luck, but you don't need it, my man. You keep up everything. Just keep doing what you're doing.
Can you offer us luck?
He just did.
No, good.
He just did.
That's it. Then I'm done. We're good. Dude, thank you.
Mr. Coogler, please. Thank you very much.
Goodbye, Ryan's wife.
Bye.
Mrs. Coogler.
All right, y'all.
See you guys. Thank you, man.
Be good.
Live from your grave.
Well, that was fucking cool.
Well, what a boring guy. And what a simpleton filmmaker. And I cannot believe that he would do that. Wow, that's amazing.
That is really cool.
He's great. Literally the advice.
I feel like he smelled good through Zoom.
He does. The advice that he put into, like, that idea of what you do to make a movie a location is actually solid, crazy advice.
Yes, it's beautiful. That's amazing.
He's great. Wow. Well, thank you guys so much.
April 18th, go see Sinners. Oh, I forgot to ask him where to eat in Oakland.
Fuck.
Shit. All right, text him.
Let's get him back.
Call him back.
Call him back. Go and check out all of our stuff on Patreon. That's where their money is spent, isn't it? Patreon.com/lastpodcastontheleft. And go to LP on the Left for all of our various socials. I don't know why. And go to crimewave.com/last.
Buy tickets to see us, Santa Cruz. It's going to be good. You want that. You want that.
His prestigious interview. He just burped during the plugs.
I know. This is the end. I didn't do it while we were talking to him.
Well, also, if you're not going to go see Sinners on April 18th, come to our show in Detroit. It's going to be a lot of fun.
See it in the morning. See our show at night.
And come yell at us about it after the show.
That would be great.
All right, guys. Be good to yourselves. And hail Ryan Coogler.
Hail Satan.